I'm going to ask you tonight, I feel led tonight, the Lord has not shared with me anything about what he's going to do tonight. The only thing I know is that all afternoon I couldn't stop praying. And usually I can stop. And it was just pray. There was no revelation with it. But God's preparing for something. And I'm expecting him to do something of value tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you if there's anybody in the auditorium tonight who has a desire to just give God praise for something that he's done in their life. Anybody who would just like to praise the Lord? Yes, brother, why don't you come up here and stand at the microphone where people can hear you. This is Steve Caldwell. And just share what's on your heart.
Well, he opened up my heart and gave me my prayer language. Whenever he did, he just poured it on me in abundance, and I just praise his name for that.
It was beautiful to watch Steve receive that too. Come on, Kathy, just come up sometimes I think as adults we forget just what is laying latent in the lives of our young people. Sometimes we're not aware of what's in a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old. And we see the 15s and the 16s and the 17s and the 14s, and we see them in the joints and we watch them and we hear all about the teenage problem and all that sort of thing. But I know what the solution for the teenage problem is. It's the same solution for all the rest of them. It's Jesus. And it's Jesus in all of his fullness. Because when he comes in, man, he drives all that garbage 1,000 miles. Praise the Lord. This is Kathy Black. Just share what's on your heart.
I just want to thank the Lord. I want to praise his name for blessing me and my family and for giving me the dream come true, the one and the desire of my life, and for giving me the wonderful husband that I've got. It was a dream come true. It was a blessing from God, and I just praise his name for it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Enola, well, just come front. You know, when so many women around us are cursing their husbands, it's good to know that there are those that are happily married, isn't it, huh?
I'd like to praise the Lord for what he's doing in my husband's life. Many of you know my husband has rheumatoid arthritis, and he went to Warm Springs on October the 23rd. At that time, he was walking with a walker. He came home about 3 weeks ago walking with nothing but his legs. And I just praise the Lord for what he's doing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, the power of God. Anybody else? Bernie is one that you really must coax.
I don't know why I want to share this. I just want to share this just for a minute here. My great aunt went into the hospital about 2 weeks ago. I want to thank y'all for one thing, for all your prayers for and everything I've requested prayer umpteen times for. And she just had problems from her head to her toes. She just was in a real bad shape. And she was 83, and 83 years of her life, she didn't know the Lord. She lived in sin. She wasn't a bad woman, mind you, but nobody ever showed her the way. Nobody ever took time. And while I really didn't know her that well, I saw her maybe once a month at my grandmother's. And anyhow, she went into the hospital with all these problems, and we started praying for her. And she even died one time while she was in there last week. And at the same time, we just happened to be praying for her. And the doctor said that she just came back, didn't know why, but I wanted the assurance that she knew the Lord. I couldn't get down there to her, but I wanted to know. So I just prayed and asked the Father to show me somehow that I wanted to make sure, because I was willing to go. My sister had a dream about 2 weeks ago, right after she went into the hospital. She was having a dream one night, and at the same time, this lady's grandson had come in from Texas on his way to South Carolina, and he just happened to be a Holiness Tent Revival preacher. And he was coming through Atlanta, and he stopped at his mother's house, and she told him about his grandmother. So he went to the hospital real late in the night. He was just passing through, so he had to wake up his grandmother to talk to her. But for the first time in, I guess, 83 years, she prayed and accepted the Lord then. And at the same time, or I couldn't swear to it, but my sister was asleep at this time. This was real late in the night. But the Lord gave her a dream. And in the dream, she died. My sister did and went to heaven. And my uncle, who's 10 years dead, met her at the gate and took her down the street of gold to my grandmother's house, who died 3 years ago. And it was the same little white frame house she lived in Atlanta, except it was blown up just a little bit, and it was solid gold. And she stepped inside, and there was this big dining room and kitchen combination is where she went into. And if you, well, you know me, but my family, we base our lives around food and the Lord. Food and the Lord is the two most important things, not necessarily in that order. But anyway, there was this big table there in the dining room kitchen. My grandmother and grandfather were sitting at the head of the table, and she just started praising the Lord to my sister. That she said they brought a big wagon by every day and just filled her table up with all the food she could eat, and it was just delicious. And my sister recognized several people in the family that had died and went on, and they were sitting around the table. And in my opinion, the exact time that my aunt Maggie, healed Aunt Maggie, we started calling her, the same time that she accepted the Lord in the dream, my grandmother stopped and she kind of turned her head sideways like she was listening to something, but my sister said she couldn't detect any voice. And my grandmother said, "All right." And she got up and went to the cabinet, and she got out a gold plate, and she set it on the table, and she said, "Somebody else is coming home to eat with us." And that was the assurance that I needed, but we continued praying. Anyway, today I was at my sister's house, and I was just sitting there meditating on the Lord and just praying and thinking, and I saw the same table that my sister had described to me. And I saw my grandmother sitting at the table, and she had a dish in her hand, and she had dipped her out something to eat. And she turned to pass the dish, but there was an empty chair there. And just in that instant, my aunt popped into the chair and took the bowl from her and just continued dipping. And I found out about 10 minutes later that she had died and gone on to be with the Lord. Anyway, thank you for your prayers, and I just want to tell you that if you want to know anything, just ask the Lord. If any man lacks wisdom, just ask, and he'll give to all men. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Paul says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that have gone to sleep, and be like those that have no hope." We have hope. Praise God. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Nick?
These two right here are just a double blessing to me and Janie. We, as a result of some prompting by Bernie, we started a little, I guess you call it a share in prayer time on Friday nights. And boy, the Lord's really blessed us in that. It's gotten so, and Janie made a comment the other day. He says, "You know, it's really wonderful. Friday night, we had planned to just share God's word and pray for a couple of hours and come over and work on a banner. But that's not what God had in store. We ended up breaking up by 12 o'clock and to get the banner made. But during that time, he mentioned that she died one time. His old Aunt Maggie died one time. Prophecy was given through Steve that new life was given to heal Aunt Maggie while we was praying for her. And it was right after that Bernie had learned that her heart had quit beating. And then she was revived and brought back to life. And praise God. As Janie had mentioned, we didn't have to have the elders there. The pastor wasn't even there. Praise God for these folks. You know, the Lord loves us too. Two people were slain in the spirit while we were praying. Praise God, just killed over. And right after that, Steve gets up and starts prophesying. Praise God. He hadn't stopped yet, as you can see. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Well, Jerry, I think it's contagious. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you know why so many times the people of God never see the power of God move? Because they're so afraid that God will do something different. They're so afraid that God will do something that'll shock them. They're so afraid that God will do something that is out of order. They're so afraid that God will do something that'll surprise them. They're so afraid that God will do something that'll turn somebody off. And as a result, they turn the locks down and turn the screws down on the people of God so that God's people are not able to minister in the Spirit, that they're not able to experiment in the things of the Spirit, so that they're not able to release the Spirit that's on the inside of them that wants to minister to the children of God. Praise God. Those of you that know Jerry, Earnhardt, who's the one back there with the earphones on. Remember how Jerry was about 3 years ago. That's why I was kidding him that I think... Praise the Lord. I think it's catching. Glory to God for it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It blesses me when somebody is excited enough about Jesus to go on and do something for him rather than warm a chair somewhere. Hey? Amen. 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 And so someone doesn't do it exactly right. What do? Get your hammer out and hit them on the head? No, of course you don't do that. The Lord showed me about children, and I don't know whether I've used this analogy before or not, but you know, when you have a little child and he's coming up on a year old, he's 9, 10, 11 months old, and you want to teach him how to walk. And you have dad and you have mama, or you have mama and Aunt Margaret, and they put the child between them and you encourage the child. Come on, John. Come on, Johnny. Come on, walk to mommy. Walk to mommy. Come on, step out. And you encourage and you help them, you know. And finally, they get up enough courage that they step out. And they just make one step and maybe another half of a step, and then boom, down they go on the floor. Well, you don't run over and kick them in the ribs. You go over, what do? You pick them up. Johnny, that was fantastic. Praise the Lord. Johnny, that's wonderful, wonderful. You're doing so good. And then you hold him up by his hands and try it again, Johnny. Come on, just walk again. First thing you know, Johnny walking back and forth across the room. Now, why can't we be that way about Christians? Huh? The Bible says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word as babes in the Lord. That when we're baby Christians, God does not expect us to operate like the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't expect us to function like the Apostle Paul after 25 years of ministry. He expects us to function like a child. And so what do you do with a child? You teach him. You encourage him. You instruct him. You help him. You don't kick him. Eh? So you find in our services a great deal of freedom. Sometimes some things happen that may not be just right, you know, and every I's not dotted and every T's not crossed. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, you'll know the Spirit of God is in this people too. Amen. The Spirit of God will bear witness to you. God wants a freedom in His people. And He has given us not again the spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of adoption which cries out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Praise God. So I'm satisfied that the Spirit of God is able to lead us and that He's able to guide us. He's able to teach us. He's able to instruct us. He's able to mellow us. He's able to mature us in the things of God as long as we're not in too big of a hurry. If we just let Him move at His pace. God knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Okay, now I know what the word is for tonight. Thank you, Father. Yes, Bonnie?
Have y'all not ever wanted to get up here and say something, but the Lord just sits there and makes your heart pound to where you just can't sit still? I don't know why the Lord wants me to tell you this. Maybe there's some woman out there that needs to hear it, like I've been needing to hear it for so many years. But have you ever read something in the Scripture, but just scan right over and say, that's not for me, you know, that's not what He's talking about. You know, it's not to me. Well, He slammed it in my face about a year ago. I've told most of y'all that my father is a minister, and he's an extremely domineering person, and he's got to have everybody right there, and I resented him for it, and I resented everybody, and I struck out at everybody because of that. I wanted to have a little bit of say-so in my life, so as soon as I got old enough, Lord, let me live till I'm 18, please, you know. So as soon as I got 18, I got on my own and made the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. And so, but the only thing I didn't mess up on is the man that I married. And I says, oh, goody, I'm going to be married, and I can have a little bit of say-so in my life. Boy, did I get fooled. I got another one just like my daddy. So I rebelled against that for many a year. And finally, the Lord, a couple years ago, started gradually showing me to submit myself to my husband. I said, Lord, you just can't mean that. And then somebody told me that they interpreted the Scripture to mean you only have to submit to your husband in things of a spiritual realm, you know. And only if he's a Christian. You don't have to submit to him if he's not. I said, oh boy, you know, so not, now I know that scripture doesn't apply to myself. So we still kept battling. But the scriptures right here are very plain. It says, submitting your, Ephesians 5 and 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And the Lord really had to hit me on the head with that. And once the Lord brought me to the realization that I am supposed to be submitted to my husband and I have had a wonderful marriage. But since then, we have had an even better one. And it's getting better every day. And I just want to praise the Lord that I'm stubborn, but he just keeps pounding away at you until you finally realize that the Lord is right and that his word is true. And something that's not going to mean too very much to the rest of y'all, and I said something to Lois this morning about it, and Thursday night I was giggling to some of the people in the choir about it, but I don't know how to sew. I've never in my life learned how to sew. And Tuesday morning, well, I was out because of the ice and snow, the Lord said, you get in there and sew. Lord, I don't know how to sew. I can't understand that stuff. Get in there and sew. And I made my sister 4 skirts and 4 tops. Pretty, I'm telling you, I was so tickled. And I called her up and I says, Donna, how'd you like to come spend Saturday with the Austin? She says, oh, that'll be fine. So she came walking in and I showed her this outfit that my mother-in-law had made me. And she said, oh, that's beautiful. And so I picked out one of the outfits I had made and I said, how do you like that? She says, oh, it's okay. I says, you don't like it? She says, it's okay. Because I could see, you know, she was a little bit envious. I said, well, happy birthday. And she just grinned from ear to ear, and I handed her 3 more. And she just grinned from ear to ear. She says, Bonnie, she says, and she started choking up. She said, Bonnie, she said, I have just gotten it out of my mouth and told the Lord that I didn't have any money whatsoever and that I needed some new clothes. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen. So here, use your, no, if you just let them, here, use
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
And you know, so many of us don't get used because we want God to explain everything to us in ahead of time. We want him to say, well, now, your sister has this need, and she's praying right now, and she needs some clothes. Now, would you make some clothes to help answer that prayer? And if we got it from God like that, and we'd be glad to go on and do it. What he wants us to do is just yield to that gentle prompting. Just yield to that gentle inducement that's on the inside. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And then he'll show you how it all fits together. After you've obeyed him, after you've listened to him, then he'll put the whole thing together for you. Praise God. Anybody else want to share, Dolly?
Praise God. My heart's pounding too. It always does when I get up here. I don't know how to say this. I don't understand everything that God does either. But I know when I was born again, and right before I was born again, he took me out of the working class of people and put me in my home, and there I have been. But when I was born again, I indeed was new, and I no longer could remember my skills as far as being an office worker and so forth. And I've wondered about that. All my knowledge was gone, and I've wondered about that. So lately I've just been asking the Lord to reveal to me what he was going to do because I know he's going to do something in order to let me work for him and do something for him. So Satan has tried to tell me, well, you're not capable of doing much, but I know better. So for about the last 2 or 3 weeks, the word Mandarin,
Mandarin,
has been coming into my mind and in my spirit, and I didn't know what it was. So I was sitting one night watching TV, and this man was on this gospel program, and he said the word Mandarin, and it just did something to me, and I just listened, and come to find out, it is one of the dialects of the Chinese language. And I listened with, you know, great interest, and I still didn't really learn too much about it, but the word Mandarin stayed with me. And it became so intense till I began to really think about it and really question the Lord about it. So last Wednesday night, I believe it was, I was just mentioning to someone the fact that I had a real desire to know more about Mandarin. And this name of a school was given to me. And the next morning, it was great urgency. I called this school, and it was way far down in Buckhead. Made an appointment to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I knew that God wanted me to go. So my clunker of a car, I prayed for it, and we got all the way downtown, me in this car, you know, and I was praying all the way because I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't know how to go. The Lord really led me. So I went in and I talked with the man about the Mandarin language, found out that it was a dialect, that some, you know, it was a course that you could take, but it would take 80 units just to learn an introductory course, and it would cost a lot of money. And I told the man, I got to witness, I said, well, the Lord has put this in my heart, and I'll get back to you. So coming on the way back, my car would hardly run, and God's timing is so wonderful. And I had two overdue books, and I stopped at the library in Douglasville. And I walked up to the counter, and I put the books down, and we were figuring up how much they cost. And I was not very proud of the fact that these books were overdue, but I went and I just glanced to my side, and I really thought it was an angel. There was this woman standing there. She was looking at me, and I was looking at her. And I said, are you Chinese? She said, yes. And I looked at her a few more minutes, and she looked at me. She said, you speak English? And I said, of course. She said, you wish to speak Chinese? And I said, yes. She said, I'll teach you Chinese. You teach me English. I don't know what the Lord has in store for me and this woman. She knows very few words. She wrote her name and address and phone number down as I gave her mine. I hugged her, and the little librarian came, and she said, do you know this little lady? And I said, no, I've just met her. She said, this has to be of God. She said, I've prayed for someone that loved Jesus to come into this little Chinese girl's life. And I says, well, you just never know what today has meant to me. She said that the English that this little girl has learned, she learned from reading the American Bible, English translation. So I felt a real closeness to this little Chinese girl, and I put her address, not knowing what God would have in store for us. And I still don't know. But I know when I got home, I just collapsed because I didn't have to know, and I still don't have to know God's going to do it. I don't know what it will be, but He is really allowing me to do something for Him. And that's all I've ever wanted to do.
Yes. If anybody asks you, tell them that your God is A-OK. A-OK. Praise God. That's just an example of how important it is to to just yield to that quiet prompting, whatever it is the Lord would. We miss God because we want to understand everything. We want to figure everything out rather than just trust Him. And He's not pleased with your understanding or with my understanding. He's pleased with our faith. He wants our believing and our trusting. Anybody else have anything they want to share today? Oh, a couple more. Mark? Did God do something else for you while we've just been sitting here? Okay.
I'm not much of a public speaker, as you could probably tell a few minutes ago. But yesterday, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to the Water of Life tomorrow night. I said, provide, you know, I work. And I usually, if you notice, I sneak in about 7:15 and leave about 8:15. And I said, I want to go, and I want you to do something different. I've never had an interpretation in tongues before an audience or before other people, just around myself and this, you know, another individual maybe. And so I was standing there, and I don't know who was it that spoke, but nobody would interpret. And I said, Lord, it's not me. I don't want to do it. I changed my mind. And He said, just go ahead, just go ahead. And so I just started, and then the devil stepped in and said, look now what you've done. You know, you're standing here for about 100 people, and you're talking, and just go right ahead. And I stopped. I got scared to death. And I sat over there, and I'm sure Bonnie could feel the whole, that end of the room vibrating from me shaking. But, because I thought, boy, I've really done it now. And all I could do was just say, Lord, you know, you just give me the comfort, because that's, you know, your job. And then Mr. Rocchio got up there and started speaking about growing. And that just, again, shows how perfect God's timing is. And the only reason I'm shaking now is because I'm standing up here. But I don't know, I felt like I needed to say that, because it's neat to know He cares about you and that He's going to teach you. And kind of by the trial and error, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but just kind of grow by experience. And anyway, praise the Lord.
Okay, Steve. Okay. I want to share a little word with you tonight. I say a little word. I don't know how much word it'll be. But when we were talking there earlier, when my hand went in the air and came back down again, it was the Lord saying, that's it. So I'm going to share that passage of Scripture and just let the Lord do what He wants to do. I had shared, it's in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and I had shared some Scripture here in talking with a lady in the past couple of weeks, sharing with her what the Lord had shown me about this particular passage and how it relates to us here at Water of Life. And apparently the Lord would just want that shared with the rest of you tonight. And I'm sure that if that's His desire, then He has a purpose in it, and I'm trusting Him to minister it to you. All right? Let's just pray with me just for a moment before we begin to read the Scripture. Father, we acknowledge that all of Your Word is faithful. It's all pure. It's undefiled, and it's without contamination. It is all true. It's all righteous, and it's all right. And so as we read Your Word tonight, and as we proclaim it tonight, Father, we know that it is spirit, and that it's life. We know that it's profitable to us. That's why we share it. That's why we read it. That's why we declare it and proclaim it. Now, Father, it's our desire tonight that as we feed upon Your Word, that You would cause the truth of it to go deep down inside us. Do not allow this Word, Father, to go in one ear and out the other, but let it stop off in the Spirit. And surely if it'll stop off there, it'll not go back out.
but it will produce fruit, and it will produce the fruit of faith on the inside of us. We'd ask you, Father, to reveal unto us something special and pertinent to our situation right now as we share your word. For we know that your word's alive. It's not a dead word, it's alive. We want you to speak to us tonight here on February the 25th where we are out of your word. We depend on you to do it, Father. We claim that from you, and we just await to have you speak to our hearts through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, don't expect the Lord to hit you with a thunderbolt or a bolt of lightning, and that's the only way you get something out of God's word. Just open your heart, allow the word of God to minister to you. Oftentimes it ministers very quietly, very gently, but nonetheless powerful than when it comes zip-zap like that, okay? Now, we remember those wonderful experiences that we've had with the word of God where he just turned us 180 around and we go the other direction because of it. But his word's just as powerful and just as meaningful when it ministers to us gently and sweetly as it probably will tonight. That's what I suspect anyway. All right, let's just begin to read there. Follow with me as I read in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. In other words, Peter is saying, lay all that junk aside. Lay your malice aside. Lay your guile aside. Lay your hypocrisy and your envy and evil talking. Anything which is not profitable, Peter said, lay it aside. Now, it's important that we see who has to lay it aside. You have to lay it aside. I have to lay it aside. If we've got any of it, it's our responsibility to lay it aside. It's not something God's going to do for us. You can pray and pray and pray and pray. You can have hands laid upon you until they wear the hair off the top of your head. But if you are not willing to lay these things aside yourself, they'll not get laid aside. It's something we must do as an act of our own will. All right, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, this is what we were talking about earlier. As babes in the Lord Jesus Christ, as newborn. Now, he didn't say as 2-year-olds or as 12-year-olds or as 18-year-olds or as 50-year-olds. You can be a newborn babe and be 75 years old. You can be a newborn babe and be saved 40 years. God's got a lot of babies in his family who have been saved for 40, 50, 60 years or longer, and they're still babies. The reason that they are still babies is they have never fed upon God's baby food. And God's baby food is not good sermons. God's baby food is not man's tradition. God's baby food is the Bible. God's baby food is the Word of God. And anything else you eat spiritually other than the Word of God will not provide you any nourishment in the realm of the Spirit. You can feed all you want on men's ideas. You can feed all you want on what your next door neighbor says. You can feed all you want on what your Sunday school teacher says and what your preacher says. But unless they are feeding you out of the Word of God, you will never grow and you will never progress beyond a tiny baby who can do nothing but suck on a bottle spiritually. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow hereby. And you will grow if you get the Word of God. If you get God's Word, you will grow. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you've tasted the Lord, go on and feed on His Word. If you like what you tasted when you were born again, when you were saved, if that was good, then go on and get some more of it. Go on and feed yourself on the Word of God. All right, now this is what I want us to come to, this particular passage that we're coming to now, where the Spirit of the Lord is telling through the Apostle Peter about God's desire to build a spiritual house. Now, we all know about building physical houses. We know about building houses like this. You take some concrete and you take some block and some brick and some stone and some glass and some wood, and you take some skilled labor and you put it together and you come up with a house, a church. But the house that God's talking about building is not built with rocks and bricks and glass. God's talking about a different house. Hear then the word. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or disgraced or embarrassed or ashamed. That's what that means. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All right, let's just talk a minute about this spiritual house that God is building. He's not only building it here. He's building it everywhere. Everywhere the children of God are. He's building it in Douglasville. He's building it in Roswell. He's building it in Tucker. He's building it in downtown Atlanta. He's building it in Riverdale. He's building it in Macon. He's building it in Baxley. He's building it in Rome. He's building it in Cleveland, Ohio. He's building it in Shakeyville, Pennsylvania. How many of you know where Shakeyville, Pennsylvania is? How many of you know where Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania is? Well, Shakeyville is about 40 miles from Slippery Rock, so that'll help you. He's building it. He's building it in Chicago. He's building it in Virginia Beach. He's building it in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's building it at Water of Life. He's building it at First Denominational Church. He's building it at First Independent Church. God Almighty, by His Holy Spirit, is building a spiritual house in the earth today. A spiritual house. Not a brick and a stone house, but a spiritual house for one primary purpose. And that purpose is in verse 5. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. If it is the house, listen to me. If it is the house that God Almighty is building, it will be a house full of praise. It'll be a house full of the joy of God. It'll be a house full of spiritual sacrifices. It'll not be a place full of dead faces. It'll not be a place full of dead feet. It'll not be a place full of dead formalism and dead tradition. It'll be a place that is full of the joy of God. It'll be a place where spiritual sacrifices are going forth. That's the kind of house that God Almighty is building. Amen. Amen. That's God's house. That's God's house. That's God's house. And if it is not doing that, it is not God's house. I don't care what name is written on it, because God says, I'm building a spiritual house. It is a holy priesthood. Its purpose is to offer up spiritual sacrifices holy unto God. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is to do. A spiritual house. A spiritual house. So we worship in an old gymnasium. We used to worship in a little living room. Some of you that are here tonight got new life in that little living room. Some of the rest of you that are here tonight got new life right in this old gymnasium. And many, 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 many more are going to walk into the new life with Jesus Christ in this place. Amen. Right here. Regardless of whether it ever changes in here or not, makes no difference. It is the spiritual house that God's building. That's the one He's concerned about. That's the one He wants. One that will offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we were made for. Bless God, that's why we were created. In the catechism, in the Presbyterian Church, question number one is, what is the chief end of man? The answer is not to sit in the pew and quietly obey formal traditions. The answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Forever. To glorify God. That's what we're here for. We're not here to play games. We're here to rejoice in God our Savior. We're here to praise and to worship Him. We're here to bring sacrifices unto Him. God didn't ask us to bring a bloody lamb into the church tonight, did He? He didn't say to round up your old goats and your old turtle doves, an ephah of flour out of your granary, and bring an offering unto Him. He said, bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of God. That's what God's doing, so you see. He's building a spiritual house. Now, when you build a house, you build it out of materials. When you build a house like this, you build it out of concrete and steel. When you build a spiritual house, what do you think you build it out of? Spirits. Hey? That's easy enough, isn't it, huh? There's nothing too complicated about that. If you're going to build a wood house, you build it out of wood. If you build a concrete house, you build it out of concrete. If you're going to build a spiritual house, you build it out of spirits. The Bible says that we are spirit. We are eternal spirit. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, and God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul or spirit when he received the breath of God. Now, Peter says something very interesting here in drawing this analogy, which helps us understand it. He said, ye also, as lively stones or as living stones, are built into this spiritual house. He says that God has established a sure foundation built on the cornerstone, which is chosen and precious, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, a stumbling stone to some, but to those who believe, chosen of God and precious, a cornerstone that shall not ever be moved. Then on that sure foundation, on that cornerstone, God Almighty, by His eternal Holy Spirit, is building this spiritual house out of living stones. Now, how many of you know anything about laying stone or doing masonry work? Anybody? Couple of you. All right? Have you ever seen a mason at work? He has a little hammer. It has a handle on it about this long. It's an unusual kind of hammer. It has a handle on it about this long, and then it has a head on it just about as long, and it's flat on the one side like a regular hammer. On the other side, it has a beveled edge. The one end, the flat end, is for knocking on things, and the other edge, the beveled edge, is for chopping on things. Now, what do you suppose a mason would do with an instrument like that? He would knock and chop on his stones that he is building with. Amen? That's what he does. Now, he doesn't just pick up any old stone and throw it into the wall. Why doesn't he do that? Because it might not fit on that hole. There's a stone here. There's a stone here. They look real nice together. He goes over to the pile and he picks up a new stone. It's a beautiful stone. Nothing wrong with a stone. It's a good stone. But it doesn't fit that hole. Do you know what he does? He gets out his little instrument and he chips and he knocks and he chops and he nicks and he gets that stone just right. He takes all of the sharp edges off of it. He takes everything, all the imperfections off of it. He knocks all the mud away from it. He forms it and he makes it so that it's just right. And then when he mortars up in the hole and he puts a stone in there, do you know what? It fits just right. Glory to God, it fits just right with the one next to it and the one on the other side, and you don't have the stone is not going like this and trying to push the other one out of place all the time. It looks good in there because it harmonizes, you see, with the one that's on either side of it and all the way around. It fits perfect. It looks good. It's attractive. It does its perfect work there. And the stone feels good too because it's just right. Can you see that? I don't have to say too much more for you to understand what Peter is trying to say here. God Almighty, by His blessed Holy Spirit that indwells you and indwells me, is building out of you and out of me and out of all of the rest of our brothers and sisters a holy priesthood, a spiritual house with alive stones. Unfortunately, when the chief mason's hammer comes down on a corner of your life and goes knock, it hurts. Because nobody likes to be chipped at. Nobody likes to be knocked on with a hammer. But if you are going to fit, if I'm going to fit, the place in the spiritual house that God is making of us, there will be some chips, there will be some chops, and there will likely be some squalls. When you take that steel mallet and knock it against a stone, do you know what flies? Say it. Sparks fly. When God hits you with His hammer, sparks will fly also. But praise God when the chip is gone. Praise God when the imperfections are gone. Praise God when He's got you the way He wants you. You'll fit. Amen. You'll fit into the place where He wants you to be, and you will be perfectly in harmony with the rest of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Every stone will fit perfectly. Now, understand the work of God in your life in that regard, and also recognize the work of God in your brother's life and in your sister's life. When a man comes to this place, or a woman comes to this place, or a boy or a girl comes to this place, and he or she says, I want Jesus as my Savior. I want to be born again. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that I'm in the family of God. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm tired of all that misery and that agony. I'm tired of not knowing. I want to know. And I turn away from my old life and I ask Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come into my heart and save me tonight. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. Don't misunderstand what happens at that moment, brother and sister. All he does is become a stone. He doesn't become perfectly fitted for the wall yet. He's only a stone, for goodness sakes. Praise God, he is a stone. It's better he be a stone, one fit for the master's use, than one that's thrown out on the scrap pile somewhere or crushed up to make driveway rock. It's better he be a stone that God Almighty can use, but let's not expect him to be in the same kind of shape and the same kind of condition that you are if God's been chipping on you for 10 years. Glory to God, if he's been working on you for 10 years, you ought to have a little something going for you. Isn't that not right? That's why the Bible says to judge not. That's why the Word of God says that we are to be careful and we're to be cautious about how we think about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. God's not done with them yet. If He wants to put you in the wall, go on and jump up on in there. Get on in there and get your work done. Take your place in the body of Christ. But if someone else is not ready yet, allow God the same privilege with him as He had with you. And let God work with him too, or with her too. That's why the church, you see, the body of Christ needs, that's why God said that the body of Christ is joined together by that which each joint supplieth, and that which each joint supplieth should be love, so that we can come into the fullness of the ministry that God has given us in an environment of love, you see. God's not done with us. God's not done with you. The Scripture says to despise not the chastening of the Lord. Despise not His discipline, because the Lord disciplines him whom He loves. Thank you, God, for knocking that knot off me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for chipping that sharp edge off me, lest I would cut somebody. Thank you, Father, for smoothing me up in that area of my life. Thank you, Father, for caring enough about me that you'd want to put me on the outside wall where everybody could see me, and you would put the good stones there, and you would take time with me, and you'd take care with me, and that you would chip and you would chop at me until I was everything that you wanted me to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You see why it is so important for us to let God alone while He's working on our brothers and on our sisters. Because God's doing a perfect work, and He's doing a beautiful work. And if you rush Him, if you push Him, He may have to throw those rocks in before they're ready. We'll not have the kind of a house that God wants to build. So God's building a spiritual house here at Water of Life. He's building it out of living stones. And we are part of a larger spiritual house. Our primary purpose being to offer up sacrifices of praise unto Almighty God. I think that's a good deal, don't you? Hallelujah. 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 Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we are grateful, Lord, that you are not building a sloppy or a shoddy house, that the house which you build will be beautiful for all to see. It will be a gorgeous, glorious, light-filled and praise-filled house. It will be a place where the people of this earth will come for rest and refreshing unto the priesthood of God, unto those that are walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How fortunate we are, Father, that you would minister to us so beautifully, so carefully, so tenderly. We know that you do it as tenderly as you can. But your primary purpose is to get it right. And Father, we just want you to know tonight, any that perhaps have not yielded to your ministry in this area, that we give you the right. And if you give God the right to do as He pleases, just lift your hand as I'm praying here. We give you the right, Father, to do with us whatever is well-pleasing in your sight. You do the work. We'll sit quietly as stones. We'll just allow you to operate, and we'll not try to jump out of your hand. We'll not resist or fuss or fight. But we give you our permission, Father, to make us any shape stone you want, color us any way you want, form us any way you want, for we know that your desire for us is only blessing and only good. And we know that perfect peace cometh when our mind is stayed on you and when we know that we are resting in the place that you have prepared for us. We know, Father, that no other stone can quite fill the same spot in the spiritual house of God as we can. We know that there's a special place for each individual soul who's here. And Lord, we would not have you have so much trouble with us that you would have to put in another stone that maybe didn't fit as well. We want to be in perfect harmony with your overall plan. And we yield to you, Father, to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to ask you here in just a moment. We have not ministered to the sick in several weeks. And I feel led of the Lord tonight just to minister to any of you that may be sick and desire prayer tonight for whatever ailment, physical ailment particularly, that you may have. And if you want to believe God with us, or want someone to believe God with you rather, if you desire the laying on of hands tonight for healing, then you just ready yourself as we sing. And James, would you come? And just, I want you to lead us in some worship, so that we just praise God and just worship Him. And if you are sick tonight, or have anything wrong in your body that you desire a touch from God, would you just prepare yourself to come as we sing? I'll call you in a little bit.
Jesus. Y'all stand, please. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We